Good morning. How's everybody doing today? God is so good. All the time, isn't he? All the time. Yep. So God has given us this time to study his word this morning. And let's take advantage of the time. Because the time is short. Time is short and the time is passing. This morning I want to direct our attention to 1 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 8, praying for those in authority. This month is about prayer. It's so important that we pray. I'm reminded of that song many years ago, "We Pray Just to Make It Today." It's so important that we pray. We have the opportunity to talk to our Creator, the opportunity to talk to our God, the one that's providing life and breath for us even now as you're sitting in your chairs, you're sitting in the pew, as I'm standing here. It's because God has given us this opportunity. He's given us our minds to be able to decide to be here this morning. It's because of God. Amen. And we need to recognize God in our lives. It's God. So this morning, let us look at the text. We'll read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll get into the lesson. Here Paul writes, he says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. And for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." Amen. Paul's purpose for writing to Timothy is found in 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, where he says, "I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." An important part of our conduct in the family of God concerns our prayers. Such prayers are to be offered for all men. Yet Paul does go on to specify for kings and all who are in authority. Therefore, I think it appropriate to focus our attention on praying for those who are in authority, especially whenever the winds of war are blowing. And they're blowing, aren't they? What kind of prayers are there? We talked about prayer a little bit this morning in Bible class. But prayers that we offer, prayers of supplication. Supplications are petitions for certain definite needs. They are humble requests which one makes in light of this or that concrete situation which God alone can furnish help, according to commentator Hendrickson. When leaders are faced with a crisis, that's what supplications is all about. The next is he talks about his prayers, perhaps used here to refer to requests for the fulfillment of needs always present, in contrast with supplications in specific situations. When leaders are faced with routine duties of governing. The next is intercessions. Intercessions would lend itself to pleading in the interests of others, just as Christ does for us. If we look over at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, Hebrews 7, 25. It says, hence also he, meaning Jesus Christ, is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now you can say amen about that, because that's talking about us. It says he lives to make intercession for them. And it's talking about Christians, isn't that right? That's talking about me. That's talking about you. That's Jesus Christ. He lives to do that. Amen? That's pretty awesome. Praying on behalf of leaders is important. The fourth is giving of thanks. Expressing gratitude for blessings received. Thus completing the circle begun when requests were first made. When leaders have led their country to prosperity or out of a crisis. So it's important that we do all four of these things. They're important in our prayers. So such are the prayers we are to offer for those in positions of authority. Have we said such prayers lately? So now, our next question this morning is, why pray for those that are in authority? Why pray for them? They're not always Christian, are they? Why pray for those who are in authority? Here's the first answer. So we can live a certain way. We want to live a certain way, don't we? We want to live a certain way with lives that are quiet and peaceable. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. That's what we're praying for. You look at verse 2, he says, for kings and all who are in authority, for what purpose? In order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The answer is right there in the scripture. You can look at it all week. Amen? It's right there. With lives lived in all godliness and reverence. This godliness is piety and gravity, especially in our relationship with God. We want to be able to focus on God uninterrupted. Amen? We don't want the government getting in our way of serving God. We don't want to have to get checked at the door. We want to be able to come in those doors freely. Amen? Amen. Be able to come and worship God the way we want to live. We want to be able to go about being able to worship, even if we worship somewhere else. We can worship in many different places. Amen? And so that's what we are praying about. We're praying that we're able to go about living peaceable lives without the government getting in our way. And so we need to be praying for our government and those that are in authority. Amen? It's so important. Then the second point is, because this is good and acceptable to God, that we pray for those that are in authority. Because in verses 3 through 7, it tells us that God desires all men to be what? He wants everybody to be saved. Now, there are people that are challenging in our lives. People we may not like, we may not agree with. But you know what? God wants them to be what? Doesn't matter if you like them or not. It has nothing to do with you. It has something to do with God. God is the focus in our lives. The Apostle Paul talks in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you crucify, you don't have an opinion. Your opinion is Christ's opinion. It's God's opinion. He's the one that bought you. If you're a child of God, And so if Jesus says you need to love these people, you need to pray for them, that's exactly what you need to do. Amen? Amen. We need to pray for those in authority because this is acceptable to God. Amen? It is acceptable to God. So we need to pray for those that are in authority. Now let's consider where and how should we pray. We should pray everywhere. We should pray everywhere. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 3, looking at verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3:14-15. He says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. So every assembly, we should be praying for those that are in authority, aren't we? That should be a part of our prayer life here in this congregation. We should be praying for those that are in authority. We should be praying for them. And not just in our country, but for all of the different leaders in the different countries, because we live in a global world, don't we? Oh, yeah. We live in a global world. What happens in China affects us here. What happens in Russia, in Ukraine, in the Mediterranean, on the Red Sea, all of these things affect us. And so we should be praying for all of the leaders. Now, how should we pray? We should be lifting up holy hands. The Bible describes various praying postures. There's a praying posture of people standing. Some people stand up and pray. Some people stand with their hands spread out or lifted heavenward. Some bow their heads. Some lift heavenward of their eyes like Jesus did. Some kneel down. Some fall down on their face. Some bow the head with the face between their knees. That might be difficult for some. I had to put a joke in there somewhere. But we're talking about prayer, though, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer. Now, we know in Sunday school we're taught to put our hands together and bow our heads and close our eyes. That's what they teach you in cradle roll and so forth. But that's not necessarily recorded in Scripture. That is a custom that we have for today. But evidently, a particular posture is not what's important. It is the inner attitude of the soul. All right. And we were talking about attitude this morning. We were talking about praying. We want to have an attitude of thanksgiving when we're coming before the throne of God. We need to have a thanksgiving type of an attitude, not a negative attitude or pouting or complaining type of attitude. But we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving. So it's more of an inward type of a posture that we need to have. Paul must be emphasizing holy hands, to be more specific, talking about our hands and our lives, unpolluted by sin. It's not necessarily throwing your hands up like that. He's not saying that. It is something that is talking about your life, your walk, that you're walking in the Lord. You're living the Christian life. Some say, well, I don't live the Christian life perfectly. Well, that's why you can ask for forgiveness.
All right.
Amen?
Yes. Amen?
Because it says, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from our sins. That's what he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. So this holy hands is more dealing with the way your life is. Are you living right? Are you keeping your life in order? Sometimes you do fall short. Get back up.
All right.
And keep on going. Christ still is covering you. He still loves you. Keep on praying. So this is what he's talking about with the holy hands. The holy hands. Then he continues on, without wrath and doubting. Without wrath. This is settled indignation. Such an attitude toward another makes our prayers unacceptable. You got a problem with somebody? You need to go take care of it. If you got issues with your brothers and sisters in Christ, go talk to them. Don't go tell everybody else. Don't go tell other people. You need to go talk to your brothers and sisters, as Jesus taught us to do. When you have a fault with a brother or sister, you need to go talk to them in private. People don't like to be embarrassed. Talk to them in private, because in private, the two of you can decide if it's even something to even fuss about in the first place. So take care of those things. Get those things out of the way. When you're married, you got problems with your spouse, deal with it. Anytime you have issues, deal with them as soon as possible. While it's still just, while the match is still getting ready to strike, before the spark even comes about, you need to start dealing with it then. Put that anger and all that wrath and all of that stuff that doesn't mean a thing. You're making a big deal out of something that could be handled right there so you can move forward. And so get rid of the wrath. Without lifting holy hands without wrath is what he's talking about. And then finally he says, without doubting. Without doubting. Just as prayers for wisdom must be offered in faith, so prayers for peace. We've got to make sure that when we're praying for these leaders that we believe that God can move. We've got to believe it. We've got to believe that he can move, that he can do what we're asking of him. We've got to pray about it, then don't doubt it. That's what a song says. We got to pray about it. So remember that as God's people, we are the salt of the earth. One of the best things we can do to make the earth a more pleasant place is to fulfill our duty to pray for those who are in authority. God has given us that mission. We shouldn't whine about them. We should pray for them. Amen. Pray about it, then don't doubt it. Amen. So remember, God desires all men to be saved. And of course, lastly, we need to make sure we pray for those that are in authority. I hope and pray that this lesson has been encouraging to all of you, because I'm so excited that I can pray for all of the leaders in this world. There's a lot that they have to deal with. Have you ever been in leadership? You know you need prayers. Amen. You ever been a parent? You know you need prayers. You've been a manager? You know you need prayers. Whatever position you have and you're dealing with people, you know you need prayers. Amen. Amen. If there's someone here this morning that's, you're not a child of God, and you need to obey the gospel today, today's the best day to do it. Amen. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, or you need encouragement, you need prayer, whatever your need is, won't you come forward now as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.